Okay, we're back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to dive back into our text here. We're at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 15, 14. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And in this life only we have hope in Christ, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. It's going back to Adam, the first Adam, and then the second Adam. That's another reason why he is called the second Adam. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming, and then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed, death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, it seems to be an obscure verse. Maybe it's a language thing here that is getting by me. And I'll have to look into this, because all I can think of is this was referring to those who are dead and were baptized. Because how can I be baptized for somebody else? And I wouldn't build a doctrine on this one verse. So unless I find something else that agrees with this and explains it a little more, I can't put much stock in it. Because all of the other baptisms that happen are to people that are actually living. So he doesn't embellish it, and my friend Henry doesn't address it. So maybe it's something I'll have to look into a little further. We'll just continue on here. And why stand we in jeopardy at every hour? Verse 31, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If, after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it of me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You know, Paul was the great proclaimer of righteousness by faith. But here he seems to say the opposite. Awake to righteousness and sin not. And the proclamation, if you take it all in, you get the big picture, you find out that faith comes first. We are saved by faith, and it's not of good works. But guess what follows the faith? Good works. See, you could get it backwards. If you have the good works, the faith doesn't follow the good works, but the good works follow the faith, then you have it in the right order. Because you're not saved by your works. You're saved by faith, and good works will follow your faith. And those who believe that they're saved by good works, but faith never follows good works. That's the problem with being, trying to be saved by good works, is the true faith never follows the good works, because your faith is in your works and not in the work of the cross. So let's get it right. Faith comes first, but good works follow. The good works are the evidence that you're saved by the faith. He says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame." So you have not the knowledge of God if the works, that is, the works of righteousness, do not follow your faith. Some man will say, "How are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance as some wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another kind of flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and that of birds. There is also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It be sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body, and it is raised in a spiritual body. There's a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. For the first man is of the earth, earthy, the second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthy, and as of the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And this goes back to the Jews are the chosen people of God. You're saying flesh and blood is inheriting the kingdom of heaven. No. Genealogy cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Flesh and blood, just because you were born, and see, this goes to some of the cults that say that you're born into the church. That's cultish, because what you're saying is flesh and blood can inherit the kingdom of heaven. Well, say they have a counterfeit kingdom of heaven if you can be born by blood, flesh and blood into it. Now, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's not by being born to people that are in a certain church or in a certain congregation or in a certain cult that you're born and you're justified, or that you were born of a certain nation, say, for instance, Israel or the Jewish nation or whatever nation. You have a counterfeit kingdom of heaven if you can be born by flesh and blood into it. Flesh and blood cannot, so there's no way around that statement, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So when does this happen? At the last trump. He says, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Yes, those of us who have died in Christ at that time, and it's most likely everyone listening to my voice, will die in Christ before the last trump. That's pretty much what I'm planning on, living my life such as long as however it'll be. I will serve the Heavenly Father till the day I die, whether it be 10 years, 30 years, or another 50 years. I will serve Him, and then I will go to the grave. And when the trumpet sounds, well, that'll be the next thing I know. That's right, it'll be the next thing I know for me. For those, time will pass on earth until the trumpet sounds. So we got two things. I kind of will just bypass time and go around it, so to speak. And the trumpet will sound immediately when I go into the grave for me, but not for those I leave behind. As I tell people, you know, I have a sister who died in Christ in around 1985, at the young age of 35 years old. And she died in Christ. And I tell everybody that we will arrive at the same time. In the resurrection. That's right. Look for me, I told her. I'll be there. I will be there. Because the trumpet will sound and we will both arrive at the same time. Arrive at the same time as all of the brethren that have died throughout history. That's right. Because time is part of this creation. And we get to go around time. Is our Heavenly Father limited by time? No. We break the bonds of that, those limitations when we pass on. Now, for those that die without Christ, well, it's not going to happen that way for them. Yes, I know where they'll be. That compartment in hell, that was closed for the faithful, that compartment in hell. We get the story from Christ, who talked about the rich man and Lazarus. Abraham's bosom is closed down. We don't go there, but that other compartment, you know, the uncomfortable one, it's still there. Yeah, don't want to go there. Well, we better finish this up, because let's see what we have to finish. So when this corruptible, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin, the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them I will send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And because they were having pretty bad times there in Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yes, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go, and I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. So Paul's just finishing up his letter with some personal tidbits there for the personal message for the church at Corinth. And he continues, for a great door of effectual is open to me, and there are many adversaries, but now if Timothy come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, taking into account that everything that Paul has commanded and brought forth in this letter, he says, stand ye fast in the faith, quit you like men. Let all things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. There's a good addiction for you, to be addicted to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you, and Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, and that the church that is in their house, going back to the church that meets from house to house, all the brethren greet you. Greet you one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. Let him be, and there I guess the word anathema is accursed. Let him be excommunicated, it says, or banned, accursed, until maranatha, of course, meaning till our Lord has come, or an exclamation of the approaching divine judgment, Maranatha. So let him be accursed until the Lord comes. So that Maranatha, that's a fairly powerful statement, an exclamation of the approaching divine judgment. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. My love be with you all in Yahshua, our Messiah. Amen. And thus Paul ends his epistle to the Corinthians, his first epistle to the Corinthians. And what a powerfully packed epistle it is, and so much that we can apply to today in our circumstance, because like Jerusalem was in a time of trouble then, leading up to its annihilation and the annihilation of the Jewish nation at 70 AD, we know what's coming. They were having a terrible time. It was, you know, talk about financial difficulties, the foot, so to speak, or the leg and thigh of Rome being solid iron was upon its neck then and upon the necks of the people. Those that were faithful at that time were fleeing as the Messiah had commanded them to flee. They obeyed that commandment. The time for Israel had been passed, and Israel's position now was equal to that of the other, national Israel, speaking of Israel as a national government, such as it was under the foot of Rome at the time, becoming equal with the other unbelieving nations, of course. The only difference being those faithful who accepted the Messiah, and their numbers would be in the thousands at that time, who would be joined by the believers of the other nations, a holy nation that goes beyond the boundaries, the imaginary lines of the nations of men, that covers the whole earth and is depicted by the clay and the iron. And of course you have Rome existing to end, the semblance of Rome with its several heads, and we see how some of the heads became very strong, and especially that one head that was that received the deadly wound finally in the 1700s there, but has come back to life. So we know what the future holds for us. It's all been foretold for us. You've been listening to Cross the Border. And my website is crosstheborder.org. Do take advantage of the resources there. Everyone should watch that short video there to get a picture of how his kingdom, the kingdom that we experience now that goes beyond borders, how it was truly, his kingdom was truly the remnant in Israel and a remnant in the whole earth, because there were other righteous men in the earth, and when we see that they visited, so to speak, or were visited by the Word of God in the Scripture, making mention of righteous people before Israel even became a nation. We know the patriarchs and Abraham and a few mentions of others that were followers and believed. They would also be part of that holy nation that has existed from the beginning. Well, that's all that we have time for today, but be sure to join us next time on this program, Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, bidding you all, as always in everything you say and do, to bless his holy name. Hallelujah.